Attention, Patriots, broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
This is Radio Free Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, and I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, your name, my name, is your name too. All right. Hey, this is episode 19-01. One-niner-01, the first episode of 2019. Hope you guys all had a great Christmas, a blessed and safe new year, and we're excited about 2019 coming up. There's a lot of really good stuff that I am finally going to be able to achieve, things to get done that I had hoped that I would be able to in the fall of 2018. Try to keep you guys updated on those developments, but before we get into the news and commentary here in segment one, just give you a quick rundown. January is just wild busy for me. I've got a lot of stuff going on. I mentioned this on the show yesterday, but if you missed it, I am going to be wrapping a bunch of stuff up in January so that my plate can be clear, so that I'll be able to finally get on task with rewriting the signals operating instructions for AMRON, for putting together training material and the videos and those those outlines that I haven't finished, and begin producing those that I do have outlines for, and start to work with the AMRON core operators to be able to start getting these goals accomplished. So I'm really excited about that. I'm looking forward to doing some, you know, some writing and just producing the stuff that I haven't been able to do. So that's what's going on. January, don't expect anything out of January, except it's going to be all I can do to get the shows out for Saturday and the Sunday podcast as well. So bear with me, but this is going to be good. Hopefully you guys are participating right now. If you're not, I encourage you to participate in the midwinter exercise contest that's going on with the AMRON operators, practicing for emergency communications. And this is just really a lot of fun. I've been able to kind of tag along and monitor, but I haven't been able to really get involved like I wanted to or was hoping to. Digital communications, emergency communications, monitoring, whether, and if you only have the internet, you don't have, maybe HF transmitting capabilities, you can still participate. It also includes the one-time pad, portion. There's a one-time pad portion of it, encrypted communications, not over ham radio, of course. But, if you go to AMRON.com, click on that posting there, and you'll be able to learn more. But that's pretty exciting. That's going on right now. Definitely want to encourage you, if you are able to take advantage of that really great training opportunity with some really great folks. Okay, now let's get into the news and the commentary brought to you by the author of the 299 Days book series, Glenn Tate. All 10 books are out, including the audio books. You can go to 299days.com to learn more. And also, you're probably going to be seeing a lot more about Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher's, also the other author, husband and wife now, as most of you already know. But they started a Prepping 2.0 podcast to get you up and above, you know, just the very basics, what to do next. You got some food, you got a few things stored up. That would be on my list for encouraging you guys to do in 2019 is check that out. Going to reevaluate your preps and revisit those. So our updates, first of all, updates are going to be coming on South Africa coming up over the next coming weeks. Things are really heating up over there. There are communist revolutionaries calling for the killing of citizens specifically because of the color of their skin. There's a lot of communist symbology that some of you will probably think looks pretty familiar, because we see a lot of it even in our own country as the communist revolutionaries even take to the streets in our own country, and what we've seen over the past few years. They've got the shirts with the black fist in the air on their t-shirts, their signs that they're wearing, and their flags that they're flying. And now they're holding demonstrations. They're becoming more bold and brazen by taking this, what they call direct action, taking of beaches and other public places to hold these spontaneous rallies as a symbol of taking over land and occupying it. So in these rallies, they're chanting, among other things, here's a quote, "We're going to go buy gasoline to burn the whites." So they're actually calling for violence against other people because of their race. And the rest of the world is so silent on this, for the most part, the mainstream media absolutely refuses to cover this at all. Except for when President Trump said they need to stop killing the farmers and taking land, and they made it out to be like he was some type of crying wolf. The sky is falling. It's just completely ridiculous, the things that President Trump was saying, but they're not ridiculous. What's ridiculous is that the world mostly is completely silent on this. You know who stepped up to say that they would get involved? Russia. Russia said, "We will take the Sightlanders. We will take these white farmers. We will take them in." That's a smart move. Strategically skilled farmers who are being attacked in their own land. And also Australia. That's the other country that are saying, "We're going to set up a program to start accepting these refugees when this genocide takes place." But why are they even allowing a genocide to take place at all? Didn't they say at the end of World War II, never again? After the Holocaust, never will humanity allow this type of travesty to happen again. But here we are. History repeats itself. Violence is coming to a people who are being targeted because of the race that they belong to. And the rest of the world looks on, just like they did in Germany. So nothing's changed. So that means everything else hasn't changed either, or all the other things have not changed either. You need to become self-reliant. You need to have the means to be able to defend life, liberty, and property, to defend your communities, to defend one another, because there are bad people that are scheming to one day kill you and your families and those that care about you. And when it happens, the rest of the world will look the other way. It's history. We're watching it happen right now. And now with the rhetoric coming out against Christianity and Christians, conservatives in America and the rest of the Western culture, now's the time to double down on your resolve to never let this happen again to you, to allow yourselves to be disarmed, to allow yourselves to not be self-reliant, to not have food stored up and skills acquired, and strategically relocate while you can as a relocatee, as opposed to being a refugee. Sounds like a good plan to me, anyway. National news. No break in the shutdown. Trump is saying he's not going to budge. President Donald Trump stood by his demands for funding for a border wall Sunday as another round of shutdown talks failed to break an impasse, while newly empowered House Democrats plan to step up pressure on Trump and Republican lawmakers by passing legislation this week to reopen parts of the government. Well, President Trump is saying, "We're not going to do this piecemeal. It's all or nothing. Good man, stick to your guns. Don't budge." He wants $5 billion for this wall. That is nothing. They squander so much of that. Matter of fact, the cost of allowing these invaders in, who will be on public assistance, will by far surpass $5 billion. Not to mention the damage. They're not coming here to become Americans and adopt Americanism. They're coming here burning American flags on the route here, and then waving the flag of the cesspool country that they're supposedly, ostensibly fleeing. Good job, President Trump. Don't give an inch. Hey, a great article came out for those of you that are very concerned about the vaccination debate, which all of you should be, in my humble opinion. A great article over at fullmeasure.news. They did an investigation, and what they say is the biggest medical controversies of our time, which is vaccines. Well, let's get to the bottom line here. They note this Dr. Zimmerman, who was the government's top expert witness and who had testified that vaccines did not cause autism, which basically killed the debate. It was declared over based on his testimony. Or it was treated as this debate is over. But now Dr. Zimmerman has provided remarkable new information. He claims that during the vaccine hearings all those years ago, he privately told government lawyers that vaccines can and did cause autism in some children. That turnabout from the government's own chief medical expert stood to change everything about the vaccine autism debate if the public were to find out. So, this Dr. Zimmerman has come forward and explained how he told the United States government vaccines can cause autism in a certain subset of children, and the United States government, the Department of Justice, suppressed his true opinions. That's pretty earth-shaking right there. We'll post this story and all the others in the highlights and resources posting for today's show. So go check it out, 1901, for this episode of Radio Free Redoubt. Also, in One News Now, good news for our national defense, well, at least for a while. The United States Court of Appeals for Washington, D.C. put a rare stop on transgender activism sweeping through the judicial system by overturning a lower court's ruling that blocked President Donald Trump's partial ban on transgenders, so-called, in the military. The commander-in-chief has argued that making special accommodations for gender-confused troops on military bases caused a distraction from combat preparedness and diverted resources and funds away from the battlefield, and the judges agreed in their decision, at least in part. So they're saying, in light of the substantial constitutional arguments and the apparent showing that the policy accommodates at least some of the plaintiff's interests, we think the public interest weighs in favor of dissolving the injunction. The 5-page ruling by the 3-judge panel of appellate court reads. So you can learn more about that by going to One News Now. Military is there to protect the country, not promote agendas. And the Family Research Council Executive Vice President Lieutenant General William Boykin applauded the appellate court's ruling. This is going to have the SPLC all spun up. We're going to talk about that, them, in segments 2 and 3. I'm going to show you 2 sides of that coin. Oh, by the way, while you're over at One News Now, there's a really great and timely article for you to ingest. Hopefully you will go and check it out. And it's written by Peter Heck. It's titled, What Can a Christian Do When Up Is Down, Right Is Wrong, and Boys Are Girls? And he says, God's message to us today is the same as it was to those living in the equally depraved culture of Rome, and that is, don't conform. So this article goes on, talks about this in length, but I want to read just this one part of this for you. So we're not making things up. He says, I find myself being drawn back to this passage nearly every time I go to write on the most recent pop culture trend or societal debacle brought on by Orwellian named progressivism. For instance, this tweet from New York City mayor's office. I quote, to all trans and non-binary New Yorkers, we see you, we hear you, and respect you. Starting in 2019, all New Yorkers will be able to change their gender on their birth certificate to M, F, or X without a doctor's note. Oh my gosh, insane. This utter confusion is celebrated by a significant portion of our population. Well, it's not the majority, but yes, it is significant. If we have 100 people all thinking like this, including a mayor, well, that's significant. But it's a lot more than that, sadly. Over at Redoubt News, very interesting. The Democrats want to abolish the Electoral College. 4 of the top 10 most populated counties in the U.S. are in California. Did you know this? With a total of nearly 19 million in just 4 of those counties. Of course they would love to change to abolish the Electoral College. Well, there's a really good article here. Sherry Duvalli wrote it over at Redoubt News. And apparently, Democrat Steve Cohen introduced a proposed constitutional amendment that would abolish the Electoral College. He said in a statement that that proposal was inspired by his party's defeats in 2 presidential elections in the past generation, Al Gore in 2000 and Hillary Clinton in 2016, and called the Electoral College outdated. Well, they also call the Second Amendment outdated. They call Christianity outdated and the Bible. They call the Constitution, they call our heritage outdated, essentially. And if they succeeded, which this is not going to happen this time around, I'll tell you that. But the way our culture is headed, essentially what would happen is it would effectively change the United States from a republic to a democracy. You'd have mob rule. Thank God for the Electoral College and the brilliance of the man who founded this country for thinking of that. Or Al Gore would have been president instead of President Bush, and Hillary Clinton would have been president in 2016. How's that for a scary thought for you? The good news coming out of Redoubt News. Why am I drawing a blank? Every time I try to say it, my brain stops. Redoubt News, come on. They're doing awesome work over there. The Idaho PUC denies the Avista Hydro One deal. This is a big deal. I talked about this last year several times. The Idaho Public Utilities Commission denied the proposed merger of Avista Utilities and Hydro One. Hydro One is a Canadian business whose founders are globalists to the nth degree. Although Hydro One is an investor-owned utility, the province of Ontario is its largest shareholder. That means another government. With 47% of outstanding shares, the province also maintains unique governance agreements with Hydro One. In other words, they get to say the way things are going to be. And I don't know if you know this, but they also have adopted the Paris Accords. You know, the climate hoax? Well, and they have operational control over this utility company that was going to buy out Avista? No, not happening. So Hydro One is not purely a private, publicly traded corporation, the commission said. Rather, than the management of Hydro One is subject to the province's political pressure when they're leftists. Also, legislative power and special governance agreements. So this is good news. The proposal called for Avista to become a wholly owned subsidiary of Hydro One, the largest electric transmission and distribution utility in Ontario. Can you imagine them having operational control and ownership of our dams, our hydroelectric dams? That's a really scary thought. No entity from any foreign government should have control over any of our strategic infrastructure, as far as I'm concerned. Don't forget to go check out the rhinopack.org. Also, Rhino Hunters of the Inland Pacific Northwest, or the Inland Northwest, rather, rhinopack.org. I love their Stark Raving Mad section. If you click on that tab up there, just picked up on one article, and then we'll take a break. New York City debuts Muslim Sharia Patrol. You heard that right. This happened on January 1st. New York City, Muslim Sharia Patrol cars have been photographed in predominantly Muslim neighborhoods of New York City. According to the New York Post, the Muslim officers, quote unquote officers, have both official shirts and official badges. The Muslim patrol cars are identical in almost all respects to the patrol cars used by New York City policemen, except the lettering on the side and the rear, which normally reads courtesy, professionalism, and respect, has been replaced with Muslim community patrol. Wow. Another example of how New York is collapsing. The exact responsibilities of the Islamic constables is not clear, but Muslim clerics have long complained that certain tenets of Sharia laws are oft-times laxly enforced here in the United States. Wonderful. Limitation of marriage to girls no younger than 8, restriction to no more than 4 wives, genital mutilation of pre-adolescent females, the beating of wives with clubs no larger than your thumb. Very serious one there. So we got to have the Sharia patrol making sure when you beat your wife, you don't do it with a club any larger than your thumb. That's crossing the line. These laws need to be enforced. Perhaps the patrol is meant to be the mechanism for that to occur, this story proposes. So anyway, that was all. I just read to you that from Stark Raving Mad. Oh, check it out. Segment 2 coming up in just a minute. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
Therefore, propaganda is vastly more important in democratic societies.
In recognizing a communist, physical appearance counts for nothing. If he openly declares himself to be a communist, we take his word for it. If a person consistently reads and advocates the views expressed in a communist publication, he may be a communist. If a person supports organizations which reflect communist teachings, or organizations labeled communist by the Department of Justice, she may be a communist. If a person defends the activities of communist nations while consistently attacking the domestic and foreign policy of the United States, she may be a communist. If a person does all these things over a period of time, he must be a communist. But there are other communists who don't show their real faces, who work more silently.
One podcast dares to be different.
We are back with segment 2, and segment 2 is brought to you by our friends and fellow patriots, Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Oh, amazing people. Just they're just really, really cool people. And they run a great business, helping a lot of people get strategically relocated to the panhandle of northern Idaho, or should I say North Idaho. And you can learn more by going to SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Also, I wanted to throw out a little quick reminder there. If you want to follow some of the advancements of socialism in the United States, you can go to the senior editor's another website that he set up, the senior editor from the Gem State Patriot. He put together socialismtoday.info, really informative, something you can pass on to your friends as well, and you're encouraged to. All right, this is the American Redoubt segment. One of my favorite groups to talk about, the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center scam group. What a scam they got running. In my opinion, this is just unbelievable. Most of you guys are familiar with, but they got an article here. Far right survivalist and icon patriot movement predicts religious civil war. So now remember the Zeitlanders, the Southlanders, the Dutch, kind of German Dutch descendant people in South Africa that are saying, hey, there's a religious race war coming and we're being targeted. They're going to kill us. And what does the mainstream media do? Even the government in South Africa says, you people are just a bunch of conspiracy theorists. You're just the fear mongering. So when you see the writing on the wall and you say, there's like a storm gathering on the horizon, I can see, and it's coming this way. This happened all the way back in the Bible when the prophets would say, danger. Everybody, they hated them. Matter of fact, they killed the prophets back then for saying, turn from your ways. There's bad stuff happening and there are signs and danger. Well, people just don't change. Humanity hasn't changed. Nothing changes. Nothing has changed in history except technology. So here we are with James Rawls, radical, right-wing, anti-government, extremist, calling for civil... No, he's not. He's warning of civil war. And so he's just an alarmist. Really? Of course, I love the picture. They got the picture of him and the picture of Representative Matt Shea. It's all in black and white. You know, it looks dark, because you know what's coming. But they're going to try to tie this into, you know, white supremacist, white nationalist, something, somehow, some way. But, I mean, because you just know in your gut that's what's coming, right? That's how I feel. So the framer of a far-right survivalist movement in the Pacific Northwest rang in the new year by warning of religious civil war. Now, I wonder why he would do that, because it's not like people are saying Christians need to die. It's not like people are saying you right-wing Christian extremist. I can't even repeat some of the stuff that's out there, but the stuff that they think should happen to us or our daughters or our sons because we're Christians. They rip their hair out and they start salivating and their eyes go bloodshot when you mention Christ at Christmas, of all things. So with the increased hostility, I mean, is it any wonder, does it really take a rocket scientist to say, you know, with the divide in our country, that there could be a religious civil war primarily focused against conservatives, Christians, namely, in America? I don't think it's that radical. So James Wesley Rawls is a former U.S. Army intelligence officer and self-described religious separatist who once called Islam a religion of evil and death. Well, were they actually, I think they got something right here. He thinks a war of worldviews may come as early as 2020. Well, I say we've been in a war of worldviews for at least a decade or two. But he's predicting this, what he says, a Gulf War, which won't be fought in the Middle East. But he's saying it will be the second, they're quoting him here, it will be the second civil war here in America and caused by the gulf between the right and the left, or between the godly and the godless, or between the libertarians and the statists, or between the individualists and the collectivists. He's right on all accounts. He's right. I think you would be a naive, blind fool to think that that's not a strong possibility and high likelihood of that happening. In fact, there are more, and we've covered this, there's more and more mainstream publications, news outlets that are saying, could we be headed toward a civil war? And they're seriously talking about this. And they're asking the question, even the sheriff over there in Spokane County, who's so lost, but he even brought it up. Conservative, but he's totally against the Patriot, Patriot anti-government extremist. He loves latching onto that label, just like the SPLC has, you know, made it easy for him with their spin and yellow journalism. But, so anyway, they move on. What's interesting about this is that everything that James Rawls is saying is completely rational. But they want to take the opportunity to highlight this, because they got to throw in the extremist side of things. Rawls then projects his theory to the international arena while hinting at the New World Order and Agenda 21, two foundational conspiracy theories of the anti-government extremist or patriot movement. Okay, first of all, the New World Order is not a theory. Agenda 21 is not a theory. It is all over the United Nations and all these other globalist All of their rhetoric, their publications, what used to be a theory has now been proven. So SPLC, stop using the word theory because it's not a theory. All right. And this is not a foundational conspiracy theory of the anti-government extremist or patriot movement because we're not anti-government. No, you could say, you could argue that we were extremists because I guess if you're defining what extremist is, and that just depends on which way the wind's blowing, then I guess, yes, we could be extremists. But Jesus was an extremist as well. That's why they killed him. But I read in this article, this is interesting, it goes on. Of course, they got to bring in Representative Matt Shea, who formed a chapter of the anti-Muslim hate group Act for America in Spokane, Washington, is himself a celebrity in the American Redoubt. Well, he's earned that celebrity status as far as I'm concerned. He's a hero of mine. But he formed this anti-Muslim hate group. Okay, first of all, correction here. I need to correct you, SPLC. The chapter is not anti-Muslim, it's anti-Islam. And it's not a hate group. We don't hate Muslims. I got to keep saying this until eventually you'll get it. We are not anti-Muslim. We don't hate Muslims. We pray for them. We hope that they will repent. We don't want them sexually or genitally mutilating their daughters. We don't want them marrying girls that are 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. We don't want them beating their wives with a rod of any size. We would hope that they would repent and come to know Christ because many, many, many of them are. And it's just an awesome thing. No, we don't hate Muslims. Okay, you are corrected. What we hate is Islam. We hate communism. We hate globalism. We hate every system. And I think this is a justifiable thing to hate. We hate those things which hate our heritage and our and Americanism. The foundational principles that our country was founded on, those things which have declared war on them and have vowed and are striving daily to destroy that which we call home and that which we call our heritage and that which defines us as Americans and that which makes America unique above all other nations ever to exist in history. You want to destroy that? That's a good thing to hate. I hate Islam because it is destructive. I hate communism because it is godless and destructive. These worldviews have vowed to destroy me and everyone I love, including my country. So, Shea has used his public office to lend legitimacy to anti-public lands extremists. That's not anti-public lands. Okay, we just don't think the federal government should be in control of these lands. The states should, and the Constitution says so. Anti-government militias. Well, I'm sure there's probably some anti-government militias out there. We call them anarchists. Most militias actually want to support and uphold the Constitution, and they take an oath, and they claim that they will fall under the leadership, the command structure of the governor or the sheriff in times of need, in times of national emergency, and they train and they stand ready for it. What we are against is corruption in our government. Those people, not to overthrow the government, but to overthrow the people who are working to destroy the Constitution. That's who we want to stand against. Somebody in a bureaucratic position who's acting unlawfully is deserving of us standing against that and calling for accountability and refusing to comply with unlawful edicts passed by those same people who are essentially abrogating their duties and authorities. But I like this part. Most recently, Shea admitted to writing a 4-page document titled Biblical Basis for War. They're called Notes from Sermons and his own research as a former Army officer who is a combat veteran who probably should be studying war and history of war. So he writes these notes Outline strategies of a Christian holy army. A Christian holy army. Well, we are a holy army, but that doesn't mean we're conquering lands. But in it, he explains that before any declaration of war, enemies must first be given the opportunity to stop abortions, end same-sex marriage, eliminate... No. You give them the opportunity to surrender. Okay, so they're picking quotes out here and throwing them in here out of context. But this is what all of this is from. When you read that document on those sermon notes, it's word for word, depending on which version of the Bible you're reading, which translation you're reading. It's right out of Deuteronomy chapter 20. Let me read it. Chapter 20, verse 10. When you go near a city to fight against it, then proclaim an offer of peace to it. And it shall be that if they accept your offer of peace and open it to you, then all the people who are found in it shall be placed under tribute to you and serve you. And in other words, they get to live. Now, if the city will not make peace with you, but makes war against you, then you shall besiege it. And when the Lord your God delivers it into your hands, you shall strike every male in it with the edge of the sword. This was God's call for the Israelites, the Jews, to conduct warfare in that time. That also talks about lending and pay things back when you borrow something from somebody. If the donkey dies, you restore it. I mean, this is all just these are just instructions for how you're supposed to conduct yourselves. And it goes into a section on warfare. And this is the part that was covered by, I don't know, somebody on the history of biblical history of warfare. And he had this in his notes among a whole bunch of other stuff. But this is the kind of stuff that SPLC just loves to just key in on, right? Well, because it serves their agenda, and they do have an agenda. But check this out. I read this and I went, wow, you got to be kidding me. SPLC actually wrote this next part. I'm going to read to you. Listen to this. The American Redoubt is not a movement of overt white supremacists, and individuals who identify as redoubters should not be seen as synonymous with racists. Well, hallelujah. They're finally starting to get it. It's like this little seed of truth. A little tiny piece, a little granule, like somehow penetrated their thick skulls, and they're finally starting to get it. Now, if they could just, if these other lunatics that are writing stuff about the American Redoubt without even understanding what it is, so they just make it up because they don't know, make inferences and essentially they go full yellow journalism to say the American Redoubt is a racist anti-government tied with white supremacist ties, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, it says, however, it's redoubters are not synonymous with racist, but however, it's a concept clearly, at least it's clear to them, clearly born out of anti-government extremism, which itself is rooted in the Christian identity-inspired posse comitatus of the 1970s. Why? Because, well, they say so, I guess. Ungirded by the Christian theology of its thought leader and other influential anti-government icons who live in the Northwest. Let's see. They started to go the right way. They started leaning toward the right way by clarifying the American Redoubt's not a movement, white supremacists, should not be considered synonymous with racists. And then they fall off. They fall right into the hole. They trip and fall right on their lips right here. The Christian theology of a thought leader and other influential anti-government icons. You just lost all credibility you almost started to restore by throwing in anti-government icons. They're not anti-government. It's, hey, government, follow the law because you're not above the law. But I guess to these guys, it means anti-government. Well, somebody else has got something to add to this. The New American weighed in on the same day, January 3rd. This is beautiful. By exposing this, the left-wing hate group SPLC faces charges of racketeering and abetting theft. Maybe that's why the SPLC is so afraid of those right-wing extremist anti-government types, because really what it is accountability and lawfulness, the rule of law. The rule of law and the Constitution and staying with our heritage and restoring, preserving what's left and restoring Christian values and heritage into our nation. And you're afraid of that because then you wouldn't be able to do stuff like racketeering and abetting and theft, I suppose. The New American. When we come back, we're going to talk about that in segment three. Don't go away. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
The midterm elections of 2018 are now over. There's much to be celebrated, seeing the leftists didn't achieve their so-called blue wave that they were boasting of. President Trump lost fewer House seats than nearly every other president in the past 80 years. Those of us who love our American heritage and conservative values saw many victories in key races. Unfortunately, however, once again in Washington state, just a few counties on the west side obliterated the unified vote of Eastern Washington. The passing of I-1639 was a travesty for those of us who cherish the right to self-defense. Now, because the masses of lemmings in the urbanized portions of Washington state want you and me disarmed, it will soon be illegal for young, responsible, 18 to 20-year-old adults to be able to choose certain types of firearms for their self-defense. You will now face felony charges if a criminal commits a crime using a firearm stolen from your home. And among other things, you will no longer have privacy when it comes to your medical records. The passage of 1639 will do nothing to truly reduce crime. What it has done is further ensure that citizens in Eastern Washington become criminals virtually overnight. You know, and most importantly, they know, that certain firearms in the hands of free men act as one of the greatest obstacles to tyranny. This was the whole purpose for I-1639. It's not about removing your ability to fight crime. It's about removing your ability to resist tyranny. So my question for you is this. Have you had enough yet? They won't stop, and their efforts to disarm you aren't temporary. They will continue until your rights are stripped, your property belongs to them, you and your ability to stop them are removed. I ask again, have you had enough? If you have, then hopefully you've come to the realization that if you want to preserve your freedom, the rule of law, and your property, there is only one solution, Liberty State. The sooner you come to this realization and the sooner you begin joining the rest of us in the effort, the sooner it will become a reality. Join the solution today. Decide to volunteer or donate to the Liberty State effort and make a difference that counts. The sooner we all focus on this solution, the sooner we will be able to get it accomplished. I'm Lady Liberty, and this is a public service announcement on behalf of Liberty State. Visit us at libertystate.org today.
This is segment three of Radio Free Redoubt. And segment three is brought to you by a strategic landscape design, designs to help keep you safe and to help keep you thriving on your property when you need to take into consideration integrating water access, food supply, energy production, and even security features on your land. If you want some experts to help you with that, Check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com. Whether you already have land or if you're looking for land and you want some consultation to make sure the one you're looking at buying will be right for you and it'll meet all your needs. So those guys are great, helping you to achieve a life of liberty. Okay, now in the last segment, we talked about this piece. I love talking about the SPLC because it's so much fun. I mean, they just give you so much content. I could just do a whole show, four segments, just on that whole article that they read, just taking it to pieces. But somebody else did a really good job. And this is over at, well, I want to share with you guys the this article that was put out by the New American magazine, the same, I believe it was the same day that this hit piece came out about this iconic survivalist leader, conspiracy theories that there's civil wars coming against religious, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so here these guys are basically reinforcing the fact, as I see it, that the New American, SPLC has no credibility. In fact, they may not even be acting legally. Left-wing hate group SPLC faces charges of racketeering and abetting theft. The smear merchants of the Southern Poverty Law Center may have set out to destroy their wrong lawyer. PJ Media is reporting that last month, Glenn Keith Allen, a Baltimore attorney, filed suit against the SPLC, alleging the left-wing hate group paid for stolen documents, violated confidentiality agreements, and caused him to be fired by the city of Baltimore over Allen's former association with the National Alliance, a white nationalist group. Allen has admitted to his past support for the NA and now claims he deeply regrets that association. Well, of course, the SPLC is not going to let anybody repent except for them. They're probably going to, we'll have to see how repentant, even if they say, oh, we shouldn't have done it, we were wrong, please forgive us. I wonder if we should, because they don't let anybody's past go, do they, if they're right wing? Anyway, Allen's lawsuit basically accuses the SPLC of punishing thought crime through intimidation and character assassination. According to the complaint, the SPLC has chosen to draw lines of political or cultural orthodoxy, develop massive surveillance networks and extensive dossiers, and severely punish perceived transgressors who cross those lines, seem to cross them, or even seem to think about crossing them. No kidding. This is from this New American article. Great job. This East Europe communist thought crime surveillance mentality is antithetical to fundamental American culture and constitutional principles protecting freedom of expression and association, Allen wrote in the complaint. Yeah, now I don't really have any use for any of these neo-Nazi guys, white nationalist guys, or anything like that. I don't have anything to do with them. I don't associate with them. But you know what? I got thinking about it. It doesn't matter if I agree with them or not. They have the constitutional right to hold views and to write about it and to talk about it. Whatever it is, as long as you are not crossing the line of denying others their God-given rights. You have the right to think that marriage is between a man and a woman, or that homosexuality is repulsive, or you have the right to draw a picture of Jesus in your school, or read the Bible, or even, God forbid, I mean, state forbid, that a Christian teacher might pray with his students at lunchtime. But that's the kind of stuff that this group loves to go after and demonize. Now it looks like they got themselves in a little bit of hot water, or more hot water. So this is going to be interesting to watch. It's a great article. Go check it out, newamerican.com. But this, if you guys don't remember, the SPLC are the ones that found the Family Research Council to be a hate group because they define marriage as between a man and a woman. That was their open policy. That was the same group that, I mean, because of their writing, it's my understanding, an active shooter was inspired by this SPLC's coverage and went and shot, went there to kill people at the Family Research Council because of their views on marriage. So these guys are, they're stirring up radical extremists on the left. I have to, let me double check that. Let me actually, let's go to this one. The American Thinker's got 7 reasons to beware of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Southern Poverty Law Center says its primary mission is to fight hatred, teach tolerance, and to seek justice. These are noble goals for most Americans, but this is not a noble organization. This is written by Carol Swain. She gets full credit for this over at American Thinker. It is the exact opposite. Given the SPLC's power and influence over the media and members of Congress, not to mention some of our local and federal and state law enforcement agencies, this once highly regarded civil rights organization deserves fresh scrutiny. I agree. Here are 7 reasons why the SPLC fails to serve the public interest. The SPLC ignores basic standards of scientific research in selecting and classifying hate groups and extremists. The SPLC uses guilt by association. Oh, yeah. Where was this? Let me go back. Okay, no, this did not have a Family Research Council article in there. I want to go back and cover that. Just make sure I'm getting it right. I'm going off just recalling from my memory. But the SPLC uses guilt by association to engage in ad hominem attacks against individuals. The SPLC ignores threats posed by leftist anti-American groups such as Antifa, ISIS, and the Muslim Brotherhood. The SPLC attacks and smears mainstream public service organizations, including churches, ministries, and various pro-family entities. So, let me go into that one just a little bit more. Targeted organizations include the American Family Association. That's what it was, the AFA, American Family Association. Alliance Defending Freedom, Act for America, the Center for Immigration Studies, Center for Security Policy, D. James Kennedy Ministries, Family Research Council, Liberty Council, and the Traditional Values Coalition. These groups are lumped together by the SPLC with the Aryan Nations, KKK, neo-Nazis, and is preposterous. So I think I got my organizations mixed up. I believe it was the American Family Association that the guy went and shot the place up after the SPLC did a piece defining American Family Association as a hate group. I don't have that right in front of me, but if I'm recalling that correctly, I'll look that up. I'll cover it, and I'll go back to it next week. SPLC, oh, here we go. The SPLC's labeling of groups and individuals has inspired acts of violence against its targets. The SPLC is the common thread. This is where I got it from. Okay, set my memory aside. Let's go to this document. The SPLC is the common thread in 2 violent hate crimes against conservatives. After the SPLC listed the Family Research Council on its hate map, Floyd Lee Corkins II entered FRC headquarters in August of 2012, intending to commit mass murder. He was subdued by a security guard who was shot in the process. Likewise, James Hodgkinson, who in 2017 shot House Majority Whip Representative Steve Scalise, who's a Republican from Louisiana. That guy, the shooter, apparently was a SPLC social media fan. The SPLC is an irresponsible public charity. The SPLC has violated the public trust. Nonprofit, tax-exempt organizations are expected to operate in a nonpartisan manner with the public interest at heart. The SPLC, however, is a radical activist group dedicated to suppressing political dissent. And this goes on and on. We've not only talked about, what, almost $350 million that they're holding and all these donations. Oh, help us fight hate. People send in money, and now they've got this all stashed offshore. It vacuumed up $50 million in contributions and foundation grants, a tidy addition to its $334 million holdings of cash and securities, and its headquarters worth $34 million. Radio for Readout headquarters isn't even worth that much. more like $34. But look how the left, they get their wallets out. So anyway, the article goes on to say a strong case can be made to strip the SPLC of its nonprofit tax-exempt status. Congress and the media need to take a fresh look at the SPLC. It no longer serves the public interest. Amen, Carol. Good job. Okay, good stuff. All right, we'll be right back with the final segment, segment four, coming up. Don't go away.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary the way I see it. The 51st state, Liberty State. There are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is we would fail as a new state because we'd be too poor. Too poor? Please, let us wallow in the poverty of our mines, our forests, our hydropower, our data storage centers, our tourism, and our manufacturing. Please, let us wallow in being first in the United States production of apples, Concord grapes, red raspberries, pears, sweet cherries, and hops. Let us wallow in being the second largest potato, wine, onion, edible pea, apricot, and lentils producer in the United States. Please let us wallow in being the third largest hay producer and the fourth largest wheat producer. Oh, and most all of those are grown in the proposed state of Liberty. So Seattle, if we're such a bunch of welfare freeloaders that would be so poor and have been so burdensome on you, why not let us go then? Put up or shut up. At least that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican.
Okay, the fourth and final segment is right here of episode 19-01 here at the Studio A of Radio Free Redoubt, undisclosed location, broadcasting from the free zones outside the wire. So be encouraged, those of you in the occupied zones, and of course the rest of you across the free zones, wherever you may be. God bless you all. This segment is brought to you by our friends at Works Holsters, longtime supporters, well, like all of our sponsors, of Radio Free Redoubt. Works Holsters, that's spelled W-E-R-K-Z. That's Works LLC, and you can go to their website at works.com to find out how you can get your custom-made holster and magazine carriers. They're made right here in the American Redoubt, and they have a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Okay, emergency communications. I made a little note to myself here just to reiterate, in case you jumped in on the show later or you missed it, the Midwinter AMRON exercise slash contest is going on right now, where AMRON operators across the country are practicing their emergency communications. The exercise also included a one-time pad decrypting exercise that was part of the instructions for continuing on with the rest of the contest and exercise. So this is a good opportunity for you to practice your digital communications, and digital is very, very important. It's critical, we have found in real world disasters, to become proficient in digital communications, not just voice, because voice, oftentimes, it's just not getting through. Well, the digital communications, you can, sending texts and emails to each other over the airwaves. It's really a lot of fun. It's challenging, and the camaraderie can't be beat. Okay, I talked about 2019 yesterday, some of the goals. I think I want to spend a little more time talking about some of our goals. But yesterday I started to get into it. I think maybe next week I'll sit down and list a set of goals and I guess challenges for you. I'm not really the New Year's resolution kind of person, but I think it would be good for us to kind of reevaluate and set some goals for ourselves. And I want to encourage you guys to, in the name of bettering yourselves and all of us, there's a couple of things I wanted to add, but I want to make sure I articulate those well. I just started to get into it yesterday, and I asked if you guys join me in this. reading the Bible in a year. Because, like I said, we're historically and biblically illiterate. So I've gone over this quite a bit. You know, go to wallbuilders.com and listen to Chris Ann Hall and several other great, great resources that I've put out there for us to, you know, learn our heritage and our history. But we need to get in the Word of God, our Bibles. I have a plan for reading the Bible. I just printed it out. I found one off the internet. And it goes through every day as one different category. So you're not just starting from one end and going all the way through to the other end. That's one way you can do it. But this breaks it down. So one day you're reading out of the law. One day you'd be reading out of history. One day it's the poets or poetry, you know, like Proverbs and Psalms. It breaks it down into segments. So you're reading a section of scripture every day. So by the time you get done with it, you will have read the Bible in 1 year. Now, I have to admit, because sometimes my life is a little bit chaotic and super busy, I've actually been going about 2.5 years on this read the Bible in a year thing. So I'm committing to wrapping that up by the end of this year, because I also incorporate other Bible studies and things like that as I go. Okay, but here's something that I ran across, and I want to share with you guys and just leave you with this. We're talking about Civil War and preparedness and, James Rawls, you know, and many others. And I strongly believe there's something very serious coming for this country. I believe that we are in rebellion as a nation against God. Now, we've always said, yeah, but God protects his remnant. Well, that's our hope, but historically, biblically, even the remnant had to deal with cruddy situations. The remnant oftentimes had to also go into captivity. He preserved them and he used them to restore his will, his kingdom, whatever, later. But they still had to deal with the garbage, right? We should be self-reliant. Store up water, store up food, arm yourselves. I'm going to talk about all that stuff. Get trained, develop some skills. But as I'm kind of thinking about this week, one of my readings was Ezekiel, included Ezekiel chapter 4. And Ezekiel chapter 4 covers the siege of Jerusalem. And this is, you know, Ezekiel was a prophet. And he went and told the people, you are in rebellion against God, bad things are going to happen, and this is what it's going to look like. So this is what he says to him. And I'm going to read some of this to you, and then 12 through 16. And I just have a couple thoughts on this. As I read this, I don't remember reading this before. I must have, because some of it sounded familiar, but maybe just hit me a different way. Ezekiel chapter 4. I'll start in verse 9. Go back and read that yourself, though, the whole Ezekiel chapter 4. He said, also take for yourselves wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt. Put them into one vessel and make bread of them for yourselves. That's kind of interesting. You got to take all these different types of grains and put them in one thing and make flour. It's like a mixture, a multi-grain flour. That's because there was so little. He's telling them, take a little of this, a little of that, because that's all you got is a little. Put it all together, and then you'll have enough to make bread. During the number of days that you lie on your side, in other words, you're going to be under siege, 390 days you shall eat it. And verse 10, and your food which you shall eat shall be by weight, 20 shekels a day. From time to time you shall eat it. From time to time you will eat it. You're not going to be eaten. It's not going to be like it was. And what this is implying here is that food will be rationed. There's going to be very little of it. It says, you shall also drink water by measure, 1/6 of a hin. From time to time you shall drink. And you shall eat it as barley cakes and bake it using fuel of human waste in their sight. Wait, so in other words, they don't have fuel stored up. They have so little food. This is because of the rebellion. So this enemy swoops in, sieges Jerusalem, and now they have to eat their barley as cakes. In other words, they don't have the nice big old loaf of bread. They have to heat it up like a little cake, and for fuel, they're using human waste. Then the Lord said, so shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles where I will drive them. He called it defiled bread because it's cooked using human waste as fuel. Can you imagine cooking over a hot stone, sitting over a hot fire, eating your barley, cooking your barley cake with smoke billowing up around it and over your food that's being cooked by human feces? Then so I said, ah, Lord, indeed, I have never defiled myself. This is now the prophet is saying, I've never defiled myself from my youth until now. I've never eaten what died of itself or was torn by beast or has abominable flesh ever come into my mouth. So this is a godly person. This is happening to Jerusalem because of the rebelliousness against God. So this army comes in and besieges the city, but you've got godly people also being sieged and have very limited food. Food is rationed. Water is rationed. Things are so bad that they have to cook it on human waste for fuel to cook their food. So then God said to Ezekiel, see, I am giving you cow dung instead of human waste, and you shall prepare your bread over it. Oh, so it won't be defiled because it won't be defiled food because it'll be cooked on cow dung for fuel instead of human. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, surely I will cut off the supply of bread in Jerusalem. Oh, great. They shall eat bread by weight and with anxiety. In other words, where's the next meal coming from? They shall drink water by measure and with dread, that they may lack bread and water and be dismayed with one another and waste away because of their iniquity. They're going to waste away because of their iniquity. That means their sin, their rebelliousness against God. And I want to remind you, Christian patriots, when judgment comes, even the remnant, even though he protects them, they still have to deal with the circumstances. They're not always plucked out and protected. Well, they're protected and they're preserved, but they don't get to eat like they were before either. So I don't want to be in that situation. I want to be self-reliant as much as I can. I want to be so when the remnant, when the godly are even enduring hardship because of the rest of the nation being in rebellion, I'd rather get out a little propane stove because they stored up propane because I don't even want to have to use cow dung to cook my food. Does that make sense? Bad things happen. And it's not a theory. It's not a theory. It's not a conspiracy. Things really do happen. You can see the signs on the wall. You can see the writing on the wall. And that should prompt us to take action and prepare for our families. So when the siege does come, and I believe in some form or another that is coming for our culture, I don't want to eat barley cakes cooked with human dung because there's no other fuel. Remember the stories from the Holocaust to the Bolshevik Revolution and many others where they're bussing up the family heirloom furniture. There's no stairs anymore going up because they busted it all up for fuel, and then they're there with nothing and no heat. I think we can be a lot more effective if for rebuilding, for ministering to others, for helping others, and providing for our families. If we see the signs on the wall, we see our nation in rebellion, we know how he's handled his people in the past when they rebelled, and think about how we might be able to be self-reliant so that we can minister to others instead of watching our children starve or feeding our families defiled food for whatever reason. Just a thought that I had as I read this, it just kind of hit me that way. And so I just wanted to share that with you guys. I hope you appreciated that and a little bit of insight. And I want to close with this. I just met a guy this afternoon, that went through the Serbian war and former Yugoslavia. He went through that, the Balkan war, and he was talking about how difficult it was. And he said other nations were bringing in food, and they brought in, this was in 91, 92, and He said this other country was bringing in their military rations that were pulled out of surplus. So there's, and what it was cans, cases of cans of corned beef from 1962, 1963. And that's all they had to eat. And they were fighting over it. They were killing each other over it. Fortunately for them, it was already cooked. They just had to open a can and get a spoon and eat it. They didn't have to cook it over human waste or even cow dung. But there's a lot of people in the world, hardship, troubled times are very real to them. It's easy for us to be disconnected from that reality, and then you're living in it and it becomes your reality. We can see the signs on the wall. I think James Rawls is dead on. I think we're headed toward a civil war in our country. I think you're going to see that on a global scale. And I don't think we should be living in fear. But I think we should be taking it seriously and acting with a sense of urgency so we can be effective. So we're not starving. So we're not having food rationed to us. We can actually be rationing it ourselves because it's our choice, or rationing it to those maybe less fortunate that we might be able to minister and help, who then might be more, they might be more open to the gospel when you're helping them, showing Christian charity. That's what we're called to do, right? Okay, that's all I got, guys. You have a blessed week. I look forward to talking to you next week. Thank you so much for the letters of encouragement, your prayers, your support, your financial support, all the Christmas cards. What a blessing. You guys are amazing. I love you to death. And that's it. Have a blessed week. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to The Voice of the American Redoubt, episode 1901. Good night.